I've got a victory living inside of me. I got the greater one. I can overcome. This ain't no time to turn back, no place to grow slack. I gotta keep pressing on till every battle is won.
Good morning, class. Hi, I'm Keith Moore, and we welcome you to Faith School. Faith School is the place where my spirit is fed, my faith grows stronger, and I learn how to be an overcomer. Does that sound good? Overcomer? Winner? Victorious? Hallelujah! The Bible said if you're born of God, you are born an overcomer. It's not like you got to turn into something that you're not. When you're born again, that is your spiritual inheritance, your spiritual DNA. I mean, your spiritual cells, if you look at them under the spiritual microscope, you focus in and it says, what does that say? W-I-N-N-E-R. Winner.
Yes, sir.
Winner. That is your makeup. I mean, you can understand you're born of God. Losing is not born of God. Failure is not born of God. Defects are not coming from God. Failure is not coming from God. Victory.
Yes.
Victory.
Yes.
And the great thing about it, don't let an attack or a challenge convince you of failure. Because we're not done.
Right.
Till we win.
Right.
Come on, can you see this?
Right.
This is not three chances at bat. This is swing till I hit.
Yeah.
This is right. Why? Because my Father's in charge.
Yes.
He's the judge.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And Jesus is my advocate.
Yes.
And if God's for me,
yes.
Huh? Yes. If God's for me,
yes.
You almost feel sorry for the other side. Father, we're so thankful. We're so glad, so grateful that you have made us, you have chosen us, you have given us life. We look to you. Every good thing comes from you. Every blessing, every benefit, every help comes from you. So we reach out to you today for that. Give us this day our daily bread, our spiritual bread, and all that you know we need. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. We have been on a series for a number of weeks now that we're calling Faith for Provision. In this life, you're going to need some provision. Do you go a day and not need some provision?
No.
Need something to eat, something to wear, place to sleep. And if you got a family, you need more.
Yes, sir.
If you got a business, you need more.
Yes, sir.
Got a church, ministry, you need more.
Yes.
Well, what's God's will concerning this? To hear some people talk, you would think that God uses lack to develop us. There's a lot of people that believe that. But you know, you'll find that people who say they believe it don't practice it. they will sit up in church and go, yeah, you know, God don't want you to have any of those riches. And then Monday morning, they're out trying to get some.
Yeah.
Right? They're working. Come on now. If you believe God that poverty and being poor is His will and pleases Him, then quit playing around with it and be poor. Seriously, poor. People say that about sickness. You know, well, maybe God's teaching you something through it. Well, if it's His will for you to be sick, why would you go to the doctor and try to get better? And are you trying to get out of the will of God? Are you trying to fight what God's doing in your life? No, see, people, they say that stuff sitting on the pew. But then when they leave church, they don't act like that. No, you should fight disease because it's not the will of God. And you should fight poverty. It is not the will of God. Now, there's a lot of it in the world. I know that. You know that. But it's not God's will. It's not God's plan. There's also a lot of unbelief in the world. There's a lot of fear in the world. There's a lot of ignorance and lack of knowledge concerning God and His things, which is why we're continuing now 30 and now 40 reasons from Scripture. We don't want to be, you know, the Scripture said in 1 Corinthians, I would not have you ignorant concerning this. Well, we don't want to be ignorant concerning this. What's the opposite of ignorant? Informed, right? You know, enlightened and quickened. So we've been one after another 30, and now we're going on to 40 reasons from Scripture why we are sure abundant provision is always God's will for us all. Let me hear you say it. Abundant provision is always God's will for us all. Say it again. Abundant provision is always God's will for me. Always. Today? This week? This month? This quarter? This year? Always. For us all. For me. Now, that can't just be based on desire or theory or imagination. What's it based on? Well, that's why we've been given reason after reason from the Word of God. Our first reason was, why are we sure? Why we say such a thing? Abundant provisions, always God's will for us all. When I say us all, I'm talking about believers, Christians. Now, those that are not believers, it's His will for them to become believers. But Psalm 23:1 was our first reason. The Lord's my shepherd, I shall not want. Might you get the idea? Provision was His will for you from reading that and hearing that and thinking about God being your shepherd and leading you beside the still waters and making you lie down in the green pasture and preparing a table before you, hallelujah, in the presence of your enemies, a table full of abundance, satisfying you with good things. Your youth is renewed and satisfying you with long life and hallelujah. That's not my words. That's not your words. That's His words. And so we saw that, and then we talked about the goodness of God. We talked about the fatherhood of God. We talked about the names of God. We saw El Shaddai. We saw Jehovah Jireh. And like we saw, I said before, we couldn't see any El Cheapo. We couldn't see anything that indicated that. It was always just abundance and provision. We talked about the blessing of the covenant blessing, being redeemed from the curse, the giving to the poor, good news to the poor, the year of Jubilee. 29 of these we have covered over a number of weeks. And if you weren't with us, please go online, faithschool.org, and all these previous lessons are there. No charge, no cost, no obligation. Our partners keep sowing into this, and God keeps taking care of us, and so we can provide it at no charge. Take advantage of it. And we're down to number 30 in our study, the beginning days of the church. Go again to Acts, the second chapter, please. Acts chapter 2, we're looking at the beginning days of the church that we are a part of, the same church. In Acts 2, they got filled with the Spirit on the day of Pentecost. And then the Bible said in verse 44, all that believed were together and had all things common. You don't separate the had things common from they were together. Together's not just in the same geographic location. This is talking about unity. And if you look at the beginning of the chapter, what does it say? Chapter 2, verse 1, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were what? All with one accord in one place. They weren't just in the same room or the same building or the same town. They were on the same page in their thinking, in their desire, in their believing, in their priorities, in their vision. This is the devil's nightmare. It really is. Which is all the reason why, all the more reason why you and I should be on this. Right? Doing what we can to cause this to happen. Now, the thing that you got to watch about, in Ephesians he talks about unity of the faith, unity of the spirit. He's not talking about unity of doctrine. Everybody awake on this one. All of, you know, Paul said this, and he's the one God used to pen most of the New Testament. He said, we know in part. Mm-hmm. What does that mean? That means there's parts you don't know. And that's in areas where you don't know are some areas you could jump to a wrong conclusion about just simply by what you don't know. And nobody you know, no preacher, no Bible teacher that you know is right about everything. Am I including you? Yes, including me. Yes, including me. Why? Why? Because I don't know it all. I don't know it all. I know part. I know parts. And so it's not that we're pushing to where we agree on every technical point of doctrine. That ain't going to happen.
That's right.
Not in this life, not in this generation. But if people had some humility about them, they can disagree on a point without cutting each other off.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes, sir.
And saying, well, you know, some things, you know, even preachers that are, you know, both of them are good people, if they come to the right conclusion, they think, well, I guess we'll find out later on what's right. But until then, we got the same Jesus.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes.
We got the same gospel.
Yes.
Got the same Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Got the same main directive. And so you make the main thing the main thing, not these other things. And so their unity is such a big part of the moving of the Spirit, the manifestations of the Spirit, even signs and wonders, and all their needs being met. When the enemy is able to come in and get people mad at each other and hurt and in rage, and they shut off and they pull away and they separate and they stop talking, and this turns into months, that's when you'll see the church diminished. Because if the enemy can separate you, then he can lie to this one about this one, and there's nothing to combat it because they're not talking. And he lies to this one about that one. Can you see this? And all they're left with are these lies, when if they could talk, this one would say, well, why'd you say that? And they say, I didn't say that. I never said that. Right? And you begin to uncover what the devil is doing. And he's not able to hide these things. But this strife, Jesus warned about this. He said, a house divided, what'll happen with it? It'll fall. It won't make it. It won't survive. Well, you can see the enemy of our soul, the devil and his crowd, they understand this better than the church does. And so they want to divide us and see us fall and see us falter. And another thing, God has designed it so none of us have it all. He intends that we understand we need each other. And he intends that we understand you have some things I don't have. I have some things you don't have. We won't get the full impact unless we put them together.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And it's exactly like the body.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yes.
I mean, an arm by itself will not place in the Olympics. Is that right? A foot by... you got to... I mean, a body that can function at the highest level, it's got to be in sync.
Yes.
Everything's got to be working the right way at the right time and the right place. Well, that's us. We are the body of Christ. I'm not the body of Christ. You're not the body of Christ. I'm a member.
Yes, sir. Yes.
You're a member.
Yes, sir.
Right?
Yes.
And all of us together, the head can do amazing things through the body in unity. And we see evidences of that in the beginning days of the church. You know, now after this, there weren't the 10,000 different denominations and groups. That didn't exist yet, right? Not yet. But you see that they were all together, verse 44. They had all things common, and they sold their possessions and goods. Everybody say possessions.
Possessions.
What did we see in our last class about possessions?
It means
you own it,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
If you owe on it, you don't own it. And if you're not clear about that, ask the bank. Let them explain it to you. If you can do what you want to with it at any time without their involvement. They sold their possessions and their goods, and they parted them to all men as every man had need. And they continued daily with one accord. See, he brings that up again. Do you hear these words? Together, common, one accord. Is this a recurring theme?
Yes.
Recurring theme. In the temple, breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. When we are fighting and we are hateful and we are against each other, that messes up our witness to the outside world, right? Because that's the same thing they're doing. Why do they need to come join us, right? But when they see a unity and a love and peace and joy, they don't see that in the ungodly world. That is a different thing. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians, the third chapter, if you would. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Now we're talking about provision, and we're talking about faith for provision. So why are we talking so much about unity, Brother Keith? Because we like to have our bills paid. Huh? We like to have our needs met. Have you read that faith works by love?
Yes, sir.
Have you heard that?
Yes, sir.
Seen that? Well, what if you're not walking in love? Will faith work the same?
No.
No, it doesn't. And so you see that chapter 3 of 1 Corinthians, verse 1, the Spirit of God through Paul said, brethren, 1 Corinthians 3:1, I could not speak to you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. What we see in the early days of the church here with this unity and with this pooling of resources and preaching the gospel and getting things done, this is how spiritual people act. Spiritual people. And he said, by this time at the church of Corinth, I hadn't been able to talk to you like spiritual people, but like carnal. I fed you with milk and not meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able, for you are carnal. What lets him know this? The rest of the verse. For where is there is among you envying and strife and divisions? Are you not carnal? And walk as men, or some translations say mere men, unsaved people. Being spiritual is evidenced by love and faith and grace and mercy and all the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering. The arguing, the fighting, no matter how much scripture you quote, or how much you claim to pray. If you can't get along with anybody, you are not spiritual. You're carnal. You're flesh dominated, flesh ruled. Will that affect your finances?
Yes,
yes, it will. Will that affect your health?
Yes.
Yes. And of course, your family, your marriage, your in a relationship with your coworkers and all these kind of things. Spiritual people are easy to get along with. What a revelation. Right? Did you ever imagine such a thing? Go to the book of James. We've got on a revelation today. Yes. What do you think? Yes. Spiritual people are easy to get along with. Oh, wow. James and the third chapter, James 3 and 13. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation, that's a manner of life, his works with meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, now he's talking to believers, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descends not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. Did you know there's a devilish wisdom?
Yes.
A devilish cunning? For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. Well, that's not the Holy Spirit manifesting, like we see on the day of Pentecost and thereafter. That's people that have been tricked and deceived. Because he's saying, don't lie against the truth, because these are folks that are imagining how spiritual they are, because they can quote some Greek and Hebrew, and they can quote some scriptures, and because they pray. Yeah, but even though you show some signs of a cunning wisdom, you didn't get that from God. That came from somewhere else. And this envying and strife results in confusion and manifestations of evil spirits. Every evil work. Said out loud, no tolerance,
no tolerance
for strife.
For strife.
You see, if you're tolerating strife, you're tolerating evil work. These are wrong spirits that are involved in that. I mean, if somebody had a big blowout fight, yelling, screaming, cussing each other, all that kind of stuff in a room, and you weren't there, but you come in right behind it and you look at them, you can feel it.
Yes,
is that right?
Yes,
you didn't have to hear it or see it. You can feel it in the room. Mm-hmm. What are you feeling? What is that? It's not God.
No.
It's not the Holy Spirit. Every evil work, these are manifestations of evil spirits. Friends, we want to become completely intolerant of strife and manifestations of the evil one. Now notice he goes on to say, but the wisdom that is above is first pure and then peaceable and gentle and easy to be entreated. You see what I'm talking about? A godly person, a person that actually has godly wisdom in them and working, is a person that is a pure type person, a peaceful person, a gentle person, a person easy to talk to and easy entreat would be like somebody trying to work something out with you or get an answer from you. You're not hard-hearted.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not haughty. And you know, have you ever, don't raise your hand, but have you ever tried to talk to somebody and you, they just were hard to talk to?
Yes, sir.
Huh? You just, all you're wanting to do is try to fix something or solve something, and they just, you know, was something wrong? No, everything's fine. That's dishonest, right? But a godly person, a spiritual person, is a kind person. Jesus said, come, learn of me. I'm meek and lowly of heart. You know, little kids love Jesus, didn't they? Little kids don't like mean people. They don't, right? No. People that are hard and harsh and Get out of here. Get off of my leg. They don't like that. But man, the little ones, they flocked to Jesus like he was a candy store. I mean, and the people were saying, all these kids are getting in the way. You know, tell them to get out of it. Jesus said, no, leave them alone. Leave them alone. Let them come. He said, heaven's like this.
Yes,
hallelujah. Full of fun.
Yeah.
Full of kids.
Yes,
full of life. And this easy to be around. You're not making things uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. You're not purposely making it hard on people to get an answer from you or to talk. Everybody say kindness. Nice. Kindness. Kindness. Have we got off subject here?
No,
or how did these 10,000 people all get along so well that they could have all their needs met and God moving in their midst all over the place? How? Well, they couldn't be having fist fights every afternoon right on the sidewalk. They couldn't be cussing each other out, cutting each other off. Well, does everybody always act perfect? No, they don't. They're not going to. So how do I manage this? There's a lot of things you just let do this.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You just, you know. If you walk in love like you should, people will think you are really naive.
Yeah.
Somebody comes and slaps you and you go, whoa, did you trip? You tripped and your hand fell across my face.
Yeah.
So I said, no, dummy, they slapped you. I'm telling you. It's no thing that you think, well, I have discernment. I have the gift of discernment. And they were giving me the evil eye. No, you are full of suspicion and not walking in love. A lot of things you just got to let it go. Right? And you got to be kind. Easy to be entreated. And even if you don't agree, you can be nice about it. Right? I've had people try to push me on a doctrine before and say, well, such and such said this, says, yeah, yeah. And this verse says it, yeah, yeah. So you agree? I said, no. I smiled. No. Well, yeah, but you said, yeah, I know, but you don't have to fight.
That's right.
You don't have to be mean. Well, let's change the subject. Isn't it a nice day we're having? Have you heard about the new restaurant down here? Pure, peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy, good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. The fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Somebody say, that's me.
That's me.
That's me.
That's me.
I'm a peacemaker.
I'm a peacemaker.
I love God. And I love people.
And
we'll see you next time in Faith School.
I've got no
Thank you for joining us at Faith School. Class is dismissed for today, but you can watch this and other episodes of Faith School free of charge at faithschool.org. For more information, visit our website or call us at 941-702-7390.